Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup. I'm Wendy Naboa with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today. All workgroup meetings are open to the public, and your feedback is welcome. Members of the public can type comments in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting, or can make verbal comments during the public comment period scheduled towards the end of today's meeting. I'll now begin roll call of our workgroup members. If you hear your name, please indicate that you are present. Let's start with our co-chair. Sarah DeSylvi.
I'm here. Good morning, everybody.
Steve Eichner.
I am here. Good morning.
Pooja Babra.
Good morning. I'm here.
Shyla Blunt.
Present.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Madel Briggs-Melanson.
Good morning, all.
Hans Buttendyke.
Good morning.
Keith Campbell.
Good morning.
Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovano. Raj Dash.
Present.
Derek DeYoung.
Good morning.
Lee Fleischer. Hannah Galvin won't be able to join us today. Raj Gopharti.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Anna McCullister.
Good morning.
Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Aaron Neinstein. Kike Lamo Oshun Kenton.
Good morning.
Rochelle Prosser.
Good morning.
Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Alex Muggy.
Good morning.
Phil Sutherland. Shelley Spiro.
Good morning.
Zainab Sumer King.
Good morning.
Naresh Sundar Rajan.
Good morning.
Good morning. That completes our roll call. Is there anyone that I missed or who just joined us?
Hi, this is Tracy Archibald from CMS. I am in Quimvig, and I am here for Joel Andrus, has been here previously, and Michelle Schreiber.
Hi, Tracy. Thank you. All right. Well, now please join me in welcoming Sarah and Ike for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everybody. It's we missed you last week, even though I wrote in the chat that it was nice to see so many of you in real life at HIMSS. The mission for these next weeks before we send our transmittal letter is making sure we review any remaining level two elements and finalize our recommendations. I hope you're not getting overwhelmed by our emails urging content in the final recommendation section so we can all respond to it. And we'll continue to refine those recommendations over the course of the next weeks, including today. Ike?
Just echoing what you said, as usual, you did a fantastic job. Look forward to getting some more stuff done today.
All right. Okay, so then I think we can go to the agenda and just make sure that we all understand it. So we're going to spend a little time looking at recommendations and making sure we raise any concerns in the V5 elements. And then I am committed, and Ike is committed to making sure that we rest very carefully on the level two elements of note. We just briefly touched upon them last time, so I hope to even reserve a larger buffer than just that last chunk of time on level two, and then we will go to public comment 11:25. All right, I don't think there's probably any comments. Next slide. Next slide. The charge by now is well known to everybody. Our job is to review and provide recommendations on draft USCIV 5. This includes recommendations on draft V5 elements and elevating any level two elements. And we are making good headway on that as we go forward. Next slide. One of the things that we do, I think we're going to go to the spreadsheet now, if we go to the next slide. We've covered so far, briefly touched on all the elements so far, which is good to know. So, and our job now is to move as many of these highlighted elements into green and just put them to rest so we can start finalizing the transmittal letter. We're already working on a draft of that transmittal letter to try to get ready because it's a lot of work to prepare it for anybody who's been in past ISWGs. Any other comments, Ike?
Nope.
All right. Next slide. I think we're going to rest here and then go to the spreadsheet briefly. Al, would you mind taking us there? Katrina?
Yeah, if you don't mind, while Al is getting the spreadsheet up, which, by the way, I've had serious challenges trying to edit in there and not delete things. But I was wondering, what is the process to get to our final recommendation? So is it sort of a majority vote or we just sort of, yeah, what is it? Thanks.
So what we usually do is we review the draft final recommendations together in these last weeks. This is partly why we wanted to have something to respond to and get to a point of consensus. And then we move the recommendations to the transmittal letter, and our final revisions happen in the transmittal letter itself. We do usually try to resolve any formal objections through consensus before we move forward, and usually don't have too many at that time. Katrina, was that a good answer to your question?
So it sounds like it's not necessarily unanimous. It's not really a vote. It's consensus and without objection.
Yep, sort of. Very yeah, very much so. Yeah. Al, Ike, Wendy, Seth, am I missing anything there?
No, I think Katrina's summary was perfect.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. All right, so if we can spend some time, has everyone looked at the, I think we're over in column, the column where the recommendations are, I think it's column M. Most of the columns, most of the elements have a final recommendation in process in column M. And so what I'd like to do is, again, move as many to like done as possible today. I do have some concerns on, like, personal concerns on some of them that I've put in there, but we have plenty of time to get to them. So has everyone read sufficient the final recommendation for the emergency department note sufficient to have consensus at this time? Any concerns in the ecosystem on that one? Are we good to move it forward? And Katrina, yes?
Oh, so sorry. I did, and I want to just say thank you to Ricky and Hans for all their work on developing the final recommendation. I highlighted if possible and could be chosen because I noticed that we really strayed from, you know, some, you know, level of requirement for an at minimum or a shall or something. And I'm really concerned that this is going to lead us to not have a LOINC code chosen, but maybe I, or some appropriate code chosen. So, but maybe I'm misreading that. So I'm wondering if Hans or Ricky could, yeah, speak to this and why it's stated this way. Thanks.
And the good thing is your comments relate across both this one and the surgical operative note, because there's a theme there. So once we resolve this, we can move both forward. Hans?
I appreciate the comment, and the intent was not to not have a LOINC code, but rather to allow for the word that was not highlighted, distinct from, so that it would be possible to consider, not necessarily say you must, but you could consider that the narrative note could have a different LOINC code than the document that is typically more than a narrative note. That was the intent of the writing. So that's why, if possible, it could have to be read in combination with distinct from. If that helps clarify.
Yeah, that explains it. I still think we need to add back in something that requires a code to be chosen and then separately distinct from the LOINC code that is used for the other types of notes.
Yeah, this is Ricky. I could recommend, I think that all makes sense. And I agree with both of you. One thing we could say is remove the if possible and say inappropriate, or we could say a LOINC code should be chosen, period. Right. If possible, this LOINC code should be, or, you know, could be distinct from the LOINC code used for the full structured emergency department documents, something like that, just to make it unambiguous that a LOINC code should be chosen. Would that be okay?
Yes. with me.
Good.
Can we edit that in real time right now just to see, would someone mind going into column M and do it so we all can see?
Or do you want us to add it and then we come back and then see whether it hit the spot either way?
Yeah, I can make that change right now.
Just for the sake of like putting it to bed, Stephen.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear about the purpose of the last part of the sentence here about could be chosen as part of subsequent data modeling discussions. That's just vague enough for me to not know what we're saying.
As Ricky is typing, Hans, can you help answer that one? So Ricky's not doing two things at once.
Sure, but I'm not sure whether Al, he had his hand up before me, he might give a similar answer. Want to have Al first and then?
Okay, Al, are you going to give a similar answer?
No, I'm going to just provide a little baseline context with respect to other USCDI data elements. Our pattern has been and will likely, our intent is to continue with a pattern of setting a minimum low-end code for certification to represent this, not an exhaustive list, but to at least indicate that technology can represent emergency department note with a given minimum low-end code. That's how we've done it before. That's kind of how we phrase it as well. So if the recommendation is to change that convention, or the recommendation is to change the one that we selected as a minimum low-end code, then I think the recommendation ought to be shaped like that.
Yeah. I just updated this text if you want to take a look at it again, if this makes sense.
And then I just want to make sure that Hans, do you want to respond to Stephen's comment and then we can hopefully resolve these two recommendations?
Yes, and I appreciate Al's comment beforehand, before making the comment. The intent I think behind this was that when we get to the modeling in FHIR, CCDA, et cetera, if the loin code is already totally locked in and represents what otherwise would be a document code and now has to be used for narrative, then I think it will be challenging to say that if USCDI locks in on a code, let's say the one that, and it's even more clear in the next one that's around, that it's also used for a document type, then changing that for operative node to have a distinct one for narrative would be hard because now USCDI has locked it in completely. So it's not that we say there cannot be a loin or there should not be a loin code. We want one, but there is not a strong notion yet that is the one that is being chosen the right one to be able to allow us to more easily distinguish between narrative summary notes versus a full document. That's the challenge, and that's a little bit of a dilemma here. That I understand what Al is saying, and I'm actually in principle fully in agreement with it. We need to have that, but locking it in already within the USCDI and then finding out later that actually needs to be adjusted is much harder. That's why.
Understood. I'm going to have a couple more comments on this, and then maybe I just want to figure out action items to resolve these recommendations. Stephen?
So Hans, is the problem that LOINC itself doesn't differentiate a code for the full encounter document versus the narrative note section? Is that why you're hesitating?
Correct. There is in LOINC not a clear distinction. Sometimes there could be, sometimes there not. That you mentioned that narrative paragraph, or could be multiple, but that narrative note versus a full document that has all the structure and other data as well. That distinction is not clearly always available in the LOINC. That could be obtained by pursuing that when everybody believes that's the right thing to do. This is trying to give that flexibility to resolve that. So in the end, we still have a LOINC code. We don't want to have no LOINC code. We all in sync on that. But right now, searching, querying, distinguishing between the two is hard because loin codes have been chosen that actually serve a dual purpose.
Are we feeling comfortable with the edits to the final recommendations as stated and understanding the flexibility implementation that Hans and Ricky are mentioning that relates to the conversation we have with these elements in the beginning of our work? Are we feeling good?
I think from an ONC perspective, this provides that we agree with the minimum and that hopefully we can work on figuring this out sooner rather than later that we can have the right solution. So I'm okay.
I think this looks good.
Are we feeling good? Is everyone feeling good about this? And noting that although at different levels of maturity, the same type of comment was with the surgical operative note below. Al?
And I just wanted to point out that the way that it's phrased, the way that it's stated in the current data element uses this Loewenck code as the minimum code to be used. So just keep that in mind as the recommendation is to keep the same code that we selected for use as a minimum code. Or recommendation to change it to something else. But what's listed in this recommendation is the one that we've already designated, if you will.
Yes, plus the flexibility that Hans was mentioning, correct? There's a detailing of the modeling discussions that were brought up in the original discussion, as far as I understand. So it's not a disagree, it's a yes and.
And it's always been yes and.
Yes, exactly.
Just the minimum part of it indicates that it's a yes and.
Yep. How are we doing? Are we good? Any concerns? All right. I'm hearing no concerns. Are we okay applying the same principle and same recommendation model to surgical operative note as well?
I just updated that note with the same text, so it should match.
Awesome.
Yeah, I
want to thank all the ISWG members who worked really hard on this. I know there were lots of conversations to resolve the elements and concerns raised in our initial meeting. Well done. Thank you so much, everybody. So on to lot number, which was a fairly straightforward conversation, although it had immunization lot number, although it had sequelae into medications that we talked about later. If we can go to column M here as well, I think it was a straightforward recommendation. I don't do any need for further discussion because it was the pharmacy group was going to take out over separate conversations regarding medications. Al?
Sorry, just real briefly, and then I'll stop talking. I don't think that this has been discussed with the entire work group, but it's our intent to follow the pattern that we followed last year. And that is to, number one, we'll call it a blanket recommendation or a support statement for all of the data elements in draft V5, except for, and with the additional comments. So the recommendation as stated for lot number would be incorporated into the blanket statement at the beginning. And so may not need a separate line item recommendation unless there's some additional information that you want to add.
Yes, I think for the purposes of our own tracking and seeing what we've covered, the final recommendation in M is helpful for us. But I'm going to reiterate what Al stated. If we're merely saying we agree, we don't usually call it out in the transmittal letter. It's like a we agree with the elements, you know, with the exceptions or additions as noted. And then anything that's an exception or an addition is what we put in our transmittal letter. So for our purposes, helpful. Thank you, Shelley. But just reiterating what Al said, it likely won't make the text of the transmittal letter because it's included in the general agreement. Correct, Al? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. Hans is asking for us to turn anything that's good to go in green in our past ISDB fashion, which helps us focus on things that remain. So that's helpful. So moving on to test kit identifier, which in recommendation final, again, there was universal agreement and there were some edits here. So how are we feeling regarding the recommendation for test kit identifier in column M. Any concerns? Thank you for the ISWG members who worked on this.
I have a question. How is this different than a we agree statement? We've renamed it from test kit unique identifier. I mean, we gave it a different name, but we're still pointing to the item that was in draft V5, correct?
I think there's some.
That is correct.
Hung's ready, huh?
Yeah. We are definitely keeping the. This is basically the same recommendation as we had made in V3 and V4. The only difference is we removed the unique because there was concern that having the unique device identifier would, lock us in to thinking that we are requiring the device identifier and the production identifier right off the bat, which the current technology does not support the production identifier, which would be like a expiration date, serial number, a lot number. And so this is to say that, you know, that's eventually where we want to go. But to start off, we are most interested in the device identifier to be able to differentiate between different test kits so that we know exactly how it was performed. Not so much the instance data of, you know, when does it expire or when was it produced, but, you know, what exactly, which kit is it? Does that make sense, Stephen?
It does. I just want to make sure that our recommendation gets at the kernel of that, because as I read this through the last time, it sort of seemed like we were simply kind of reiterating why we agree. So I think we could potentially, you know, this is fine, you know, if everyone agrees, but we could potentially, you know, shrink this down to just what is the key difference in our of our recommendation from what was in draft V5.
Thoughts on that, Hans? Any thoughts on
that? I think that part of that comes back in the first bullet where it focuses on reagent name and manufacturer, which is a part of. So I think that is more specific than I believe that is currently stated in the draft UCDI version 5 definition. So I think that it's not only changed the name to remove unique in that regard, because it's less unique than a full UDI, but that is to focus on the reagent name and manufacturer.
Al, thoughts?
So it sounds to me like the recommendation is to change the name and then to explain why the name has changed. And the last couple comments have identified what those reasons are. But the recommendation should be clear that number one, because it sounds like the work group wants to recommend that the name be changed. And then of course it would be the why, as opposed to just, we agree that this should be added. I think a recommendation could be more actionable if it specifically says recommend change the name and for these following reasons.
So it sounds like integrating Stephen's comments and Al's comments, because Al has to make them. Al is a good person to tell us whether they feel actionable. Hung, should we edit this in this moment, or how do you feel? You want to take this back and then come back next week? What's your preference as the amazing lead and helper person on this element?
I think we can just change it right now.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So we're trying to clarify that we recommend a name change and why, and that would address both Stephen's questions about why it's not just an agree and Al's questions on how to make it actionable. And what we'll do is we'll come back and we'll let Hung work on it, keep on going down the list so that we can keep on moving along. All right, the next element, I believe, is, where are we? We're off to medication route, I believe. Column M. And so this is just an agree? Pooja?
Yeah, it is. I now that we're doing that, that format, I think this is just an agree unless anyone else has any comments.
Makes sense. Shelley?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Pooja is saying. this is a data element that is probably already included in some medications, but I think that, you know, calling it out is important and there are codifications for it. So I agree.
All right. Any concerns with just letting it be an agree? And then Hung, I'm not going to put you on the spot. So just let us know when you're ready and then we'll come back.
Okay.
all right, so medication route moving forward as an agree and will be part of our summary. Okay, now on to the advanced directive observation element, building off of the subject matter expert presentation from Maria Moen. Very grateful for that. Really grateful for the extensive work of the ADI subgroup, Hans, Ricky, Shelley, and Mark. There's a lot to read here. And so if individuals have not read it yet, please do so now. And then we can have a discussion. Hans?
Yeah, maybe a quick clarification or suggestion. Right now, the term advanced directive information is used for data class. And based on some conversations that I had the opportunity during HIMSS with Maria Moen and Lisa Nelson, the thought was to maybe adjust the recommendation for the name of the new data class to healthcare directive. The rationale being that one of the components of healthcare directives would be advanced directives, but also power of attorney, living will, other aspects of it. So it seems a little bit more encompassing than only using in the title of the data class advanced directives. That might be too narrow and set an expectation that is likely, that's intended. So a suggestion as you read it to change advanced directive information to healthcare directive information or healthcare directive. Then it would nicely cover all the examples that are used and adjust the abbreviation accordingly.
If we're ready for conversation, I personally need a little help understanding. I wrote this morning. There's a couple different areas. We talked about this when we were together 2 weeks ago, of recommending use case specific data classes. You know, we have the care plan recommendation and the healthcare directive recommendation, as opposed to element type classifications, which is currently what we have within USCDI. And I'm a little concerned that that creates a precedent that it's not something that is necessarily normative for USCDI, and it's usually within the realm of ISA or USCDI plus. So I would love a little bit of conversation. The elements are all, I 100% understand the elements themselves, but the naming of new data classes and the creation of new use case specific data classes that leverage elements and other areas of USCDI is something I just need a little bit of understanding on. Katrina?
Yeah, I think I'm echoing what you're saying. I think I would be a little concerned when you're describing normative that the industry would not understand the data class as well with healthcare directive as with advanced directive, just because, you know, it's a more known term. So I would say that we might want to work that into, say, level two and put that in development somewhat. But if we really want a data class that matches all of the data elements that we're talking about here, I would match the terms, because also I'm thinking, oh, if we change this to healthcare directive, do we change all of these to HCD document observation, HCD unstructured documents, et cetera, to make the match? And obviously, you know, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but I would be very concerned to change that data class name now with all of these elements.
So we have a couple elements within the class. One is me raising the question of use case specific data classes altogether, like wondering on the precedent of that. And then another is on naming conventions for that. And again, this conversation is separate than my full-hearted approval of the elements themselves, which I'm full-heartedly in favor of. Hans?
Yeah, thank you. And I'd like to react to both comments that were made. First one, Sarah, that you raised the question to have use case specific data classes, whatever they are called, is that I think it's a little bit of a tension between having very generic data classes that could be interpreted in many different ways, as we have seen in a number of different examples, or be more specific. And they can still be used in a variety of different use cases and areas, but they are a distinct kind of data that we're looking at. And generally, to make it actually easier, I would actually be arguing the opposite, is that having more, not too many, but more that are more specific, yields less ambiguity. Mm-hmm. It helps you to understand what actually the intent is of what we're trying to do, as opposed to pick a little bit from this data class, pick a little bit from another data class, another one, and now you have a new construct that is in the context of a specific use case. It actually is turning out to be much more challenging to make sure we all understand what the scope is. So I'd be more in favor of having more, but not too many. And that's always a tricky balance. In this particular case, I don't believe it leads to too many. Related to the other question, this is a on what to name this particular one. It is a proposal for a new data class. It doesn't exist in the USCDI version 5 yet. The intent is to better delineate and reduce ambiguity. So I think the time to set a good name is actually right now rather than change it later. It is new, so we have the choice. And when we look at the examples that are being used in the definition, in the proposal, in this text as well, examples include advanced directives, durable medical power of attorney, living will, and personal advanced care plan. There are different varieties and different aspects of directives. But advanced directives has a very particular meaning, as does living will, as does other ones that are not quite the same. So if we use the title for the data class advanced directive, and one of them is advanced directive, and then we have 4, 5, et cetera, other aspects as well that we're starting to address, and we are looking at the availability of these ones, not just advanced directives, I think it is important to have a more appropriate name that covers everything in the data class, not just one.
Thank you, Hans, for trying to do the multiple. Shelley.
Yes, I agree with Hans. And I think that it's important because right now what we have with advanced directives is a checkbox. Is there advanced directive done or is it on file? Yes or no. And as we begin to make it more available with standards, as Hans has said, we are able to break it out into the different types of documents in relationship to advanced directives, and calling them out are important pieces as we move forward for certification. In terms of your other comment, Sarah, I think that when we're talking about the use case aspect of it, I think it's important. A good example is medications. We have medication class. We also have medication in the as a data element, and now we've just added route. So it looks like although some of those components can fit into other areas, I think we need to come up with a way of saying this data element is a duplicate. It could fit in this data class, but it might also fit into another data class. And I think it's important to go down that route eventually, because when system vendors or programmers are using USCDI or we're trying to identify USCDI, it's very helpful to have the class where that data element fits, and that data element might fit in multiple data classes.
Thank you so much, Tracy.
Yeah, I agree exactly with what Shelley was saying. I think that that makes a lot of sense, and agree with Hans as well. So I don't want to repeat them, but agree this is a really important area to have that clarity.
So I'm going to try to restate. So I raised my own personal concern regarding moving toward use case specific groupings of data elements, and I'm happy to be the minority in that. because it sounds like my concern might not be in alignment with the rest of the of ISWG. I'm just more accustomed to seeing these things in ISA and USCDI. I mean ISA and USCDI plus. I continue to be a minority concern too. One of the good things regarding this recommendation is it's actually the creation of something new as opposed to the overriding of an existing element. So I think, and of course it's a critical concern. So we have, I'm going to try to separate out the consensus finding here. So we have the first element, they're all bolded because you all did such a lovely job. So we have the recommendation for a new data class with the new updated name arising from further conversations with our SME in real time at HIMSS. Any concerns? It sounds like we have consensus on that.
And sir, do you want me to go in and change the name based on this already or not quite yet?
It sounds like I'm not hearing any. So Katrina and I, Katrina had concerns on naming. I had concerns on creation of the class itself. Both of us are comfortable being the minority concern on this, even though because everyone else feels content with that. And I would agree with changing it if we're all in agreement. Ricky?
The only comment I wanted to make was I don't recall that the subject matter experts, when they came, ever used the term healthcare directive. I'm wondering if we can point to some precedent where this should be the term that we use. I don't have a strong opinion either way. I just want to make sure that this is something that is going to be clearly recognized by the broader community when we use it and won't cause confusion about what we're trying to do.
Because of the newness of this one, we just, it's one of those SME recommendations. Whether this would resolve Katrina's implementation concerns, right? So what if we, it would be helpful to point to something as evidence of the new naming convention. Do we have an ability to get that and then come back next week and see an updated recommendation with the new naming conventions and some kind of citation to support references and grounding?
Do you want to then make a adjustment by just marking it up and then checking in with the presenters, particularly Maria Moen and others to say that, is this still aligning with your intent? Would that achieve that?
Yeah, so I think the idea would be to, like, in right now, we hear like agreement for changing the name for right now, but to be reaching out to Maria and seeing if there's some kind of citation we can use to support the change in naming that she mentioned was a good idea at HIMSS. Anything to bring back to ISWG that you can put in a hyperlink in the recommendation would be appreciated.
This is like, there is a note in chat about a potential alternative name, advanced care planning or advanced care planning.
So it seems on multiple purposes, on multiple intents, the naming of the class itself, right, is what we're trying to figure out, trying to land. It was advanced directive information, right? There was a proposal to change it, but we just want citations. So what I'm going to, so the elements themselves, if we look at the elements, I hear no concerns on the elements. I think we have full agreement that they seem very, very critical. Do I hear a consensus from the ISWG on that, the elements as opposed to the class? Okay. So that part being noted, yay. What we're trying to figure out is the name of the new class that's being recommended. And we just need to figure out if we have evidence to ground the change in name, because if not, both the recommendation from Derek and the recommendation currently in there might be more normative for the ecosystem. Hans, does that sound like a good plan?
Yes, we can check that. And just one comment on the elements. I believe the intent was that when we said ADI documentation observation, that it would not just be advanced directives being present or not, but also has the, based on some of the examples used, that it could indicate living will present or not, power of attorney present or not. So it's a couple of different ways in which that can then be done. So therefore, I think that if we change the name from advanced directive information of the data class, that effectively for the attributes that ripples down, because it's not limited to only being able to be aware of advanced directives.
But also that would relate to Katrina's question, as far as I understand. That would nip back some of Chris. How about this? We're going to hold on this one. We're going to see if we have evidence to change the naming conventions, and maybe the team that worked on this can think about this a little further. But we're almost close to landing this, because it's not like we're differing on agreement. We're just differing on wording. Does that seem fair?
I think so. Yeah. It's okay. Just wording, not content.
So it's not. Thank you, Tracy. Right. So we'll just come back next week and revisit this one to finalize it. And then if we can go back, we have a little bit of time. We can go back. Hung, thank you. we're going to go back to the test kit identifier element and see if we can land that one. Hung worked on it.
The top recommendation is to change the name from test kit unique device identifier data element to test kit identifier. And then the second bullet point is provides the rationale for it. And also in the body of the last paragraph, it's to emphasize that we're encouraging the ONC to continue efforts to identify and mitigate infrastructure gaps that limit the capture and transmission of the production identifier components.
Reads much more clearly to me, and because it carries the weight of the why, right? Stephen, you had your comments actually kind of drove this. Stephen Lane, are you feeling comfortable with this change?
Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Hong.
Any concerns with the, any or comments on the final recommendation for test kit identifier as edited? Hong, thank you for your efforts and for everyone who helped with this one. I think we're ready to call that one done. So hold on advanced directive, and we have a little bit of time left for USEDI. The five elements, level two elements are going to, we're going to go to them on time. So we can move to the next element after advanced directive observation, which is the set of elements from, even though section parameter for clinical use is the first one, it's the set of elements from the Gender Harmony Project and the SME Care. So Ricky, note those comments. I think that some of what we need to consider is in the renaming is scope change. And I hope we can figure that out between now and when we come back next week, and we can go from there. I want to thank Mark for leading on this one and working so hard with the SMEs on the recommendations and the usage notes and all the elements there. So if we can, is everyone comfortable? The notes on pronoun and preferred name are very brief. Are we feeling comfortable on the final recommendations for this set of three? Long time coming, I want to note on these ones. Many years of work. Any concern on moving forward three gender harmony aligned elements with the comment on sex parameter for clinical use, which is a definition change, and usage note guidance and recommendations aligning with some updates with HDI-1? No? Yay! Thank you for, Mark, thanks for working so hard on that one for many years.
And thank you so much to the Gender Harmony Project for their work in the past and their ongoing work in the future.
Right, okay. So that moves three to green. And then orders was a tricky one, because orders was presented as part of the advanced directive element, but also was thought about separately. So it's a little tricky if we can go into, we had some
conversation on that. I don't believe, I believe where we fell was just going back to the original recommendation and as presented by ONC and just being in agreement, right? And then having the portable medical orders be rolled up into the advanced directive element, correct? Everyone's agreeing with me? So this is just a move along? Hi, Derek, or who's, I thought I heard Hans.
Yeah, Hans also Eric, at some point.
Yeah, I heard Hans' voice, but I see Derek's hand, Derek.
No, yeah, I would just think, and I know we did this for the one above a couple where we put the order for that specific thing into the data class. My worry is that this is just a bit too broad or generic for being meaningful. Like there's a bunch of different orders that a physician can place, whether it's for meds, specialty diagnostics. I threw some examples there in the box to the left in column L. But I almost think it would be more meaningful if we actually had, we made specific orders for those, the orders that we all think are the most valuable in those specific data classes, because each one of those orders will have different pieces of valuable information. Where if we just do one generic broad one, I think the usability of it on the receiving side could be lost if we don't have meaningful data elements defined for each one of the types of orders. So that's just a more of a worry than a showstopper, but I think it would be beneficial if we actually separated these into specific, almost orders for specific high value domains.
Thank you very much. I think we imagined this as a first necessary step, but I do note the implementation concerns. Hans?
Yeah, I generally agree with Derek's concern. I might want to add something further to it. Depending on the kind of order that we look at, there is already much more adoption, availability of data, other ones less so. So if you go lab orders, medication orders, radiology orders, et cetera, there's already a lot that's available there. If you go to a pulsed do not resuscitate type order, there's still a bit of work to be done to get to the right standard. So orders is a very generic data class. And it has the risk that we have with some other ones that you need to combine orders with lab, laboratory, or orders with medication, or orders with procedures, or whatever, in order to then better understand what the what we are trying to achieve in scope at this point in time. So having more clarity on what exactly it is that we're trying to do would be helpful. If at the same point in time, it would be the absolute bare minimum now, and then we can work through that and say, you would like to have an order a code, like we have on the laboratory side, what seemingly is the lab test performed, not the test ordered, although it would be ordered as well. That might help at least the initial step to keep that focused. The challenge is going to be when we take this as defined, as stated, just generally orders, it's going to be very hard to understand what do we need to include when we model five-year score, what's minimum data set required, what kind of orders, what kind of tests, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm completely in sync with Derek there and would look at ones that we have more defined. And ones that are less defined, I would actually be very careful using them as examples, like a do not resuscitate. We start to get into polls. There's still some, how do we best represent that? Still some work to be done as well. So this is a big mix that we have in this group that creates ambiguity.
So I'm hearing a couple of things. I'm hearing that either this is a yes and the ISWG leads into specifying this further, right? Or I'm hearing that this is a okay for now, and then in next year's charge, we further refine. I'm just going to hold space for that and then hear what Shelley has to say, and then we can further discuss and figure out next steps. Shelley?
Sarah, I agree with what you're saying. And I think it's important that we have a way to codify the types of orders, as Hans is saying. And I think that was in the level two, at least the view of the level two, not necessarily what we were just looking at. We were looking at advanced directive orders. And I think that these types of orders, as was said before, medications, laboratory, there are types of orders that are important. And this goes back into what I had said earlier of duplicate elements under different classes is something I think it would be important to look at overall by ONC as we move forward.
Thank you, Shelley. Stephen?
Yeah, Sarah, you said, perhaps we either start with something vague, ambiguous, and impossible to implement, and then come back and fix it next year. Or we start with, some specification of what the starting point is, and then build on that year by year. I think the concern with the first approach is, if history bears out, USCDI V5 might get named as a, in rulemaking. And so I think we don't want to let anything into any version of USCDI that the industry really doesn't know how to act on. So I would opt for the idea of specifying where this starts, the types of orders that will initially be expected and will become interoperable and therefore portable, and then build on that over time.
But then includes but not limited to, so we're not
exactly
trying to be exhaustive, right? I want to note that there was a concern in the chat. So this would imply that we're moving for work on the final recommendation representing those suggestions for possible specific types of orders and then coming back next week. Hung?
Well, I was just going to say that, we've had electronic order entry for a while now. And so it's not like this is a novel concept that we are proposing. I do think that it is necessary to include because we need to be able to capture what is in the EHR, that data that is not, that is kind of chaotic and disorganized right now. So I agree with, I want to make sure first that it makes it to version V5 because I think that, we operate on electron orders. And so it is a element that needs to be represented in something that claims to be core. And the second part is it does make sense to specify on how to represent things. But I think the most key part is that it can be done. I just don't want it to not be included.
I hear, thank you so much, Hung. So what I hear is pretty much agreement on how important this is and long time coming again, but a desire to have what ISTWG do what it does, which is like a thoughtful yes and. So if folks can identify themselves to help create that final rec, which is a yes and then convene and then represent this next week, that would be helpful. Anybody willing to do the yes and final rec drafting? Raise hands or we'll hound. Al, you're not able. Al, what's your thought?
Yeah, I wanted to be clear that I'm not volunteering to write this.
I know. But I know you're not.
Just for the record. It's a suggestion. And I think it was Ricky that said, we've been doing orders for a long time. And I want to acknowledge that that's one of the reasons why orders as a generic data element has been added to USCDI because ONC certification requires that CPOE occurs. And so a suggestion or an idea for how to frame this, Hans's point about it being too generic to be meaningful, a suggestion, something to consider is to recommend that there be some sort of minimum number of orders, minimum number of types of orders that must be represented, including the three that are included in CPOE, which is medication, diagnostic imaging, I think, and one other. I'm sorry, I don't remember
I assume it's labs, right?
Labs, medication, and
imaging.
Yeah.
And imaging. Yeah. So those are the three that are already required that certified health IT be able to perform that function. not the content, but the function. There's no standard associated with, you know, the format of those orders, only that the function be supported. So that's just an idea about how maybe to frame it. If it's about, you know, a suggestion about more specific ones, those might be good candidates.
It also gives us something to point to create boundaries around the includes but not limited to. So say, I see Steve and I see Rochelle, and then maybe Katrina. Are you volunteering to help with the draft, or you have a point?
I certainly can help, but I don't think I'm the best to. I think some of the vendor folks might be better than me. But I was going the other direction. I was going to just say, could we just have a generic agreement and not get too specific? I'm concerned that we might twist ourselves into pretzels, you know, trying to get too specific here. So that would be my suggestion. But yes, I'm happy to help in continuing the final recommendation.
Great. And noted, Katrina. And it looks like Hans and Derek are offering to help as well. So thank you so much, everybody. I do want to switch to level two elements on time. I want to acknowledge that Pooja wants us to hold on the medication until she's back, so that, and we have plenty of time to do that. We've gotten through a lot, so we'll pick up on the two elements that are coming back next week for USCD RE5, advanced directives and orders, and then drop into author, starting with author next week. And then we're going to move to level two elements. And I don't think we necessarily need to go back to the slide deck to do that. We can just move on to level two. If we go down, just making sure we're still in draft in the V5.
Sarah, did we skip over interpreter needed?
Yeah, so what I'm doing is, order to not again forget our, not get to our level two friends. I'm trying to follow the agenda. And 11 o'clock, switch us. I think it was 11 when we were going to switch to the level two elements. And then we can come back and start with V5 again next week. I hope that's okay. I just don't want to move. I don't want to miss the level two elements again.
That's fine. I just want to clarify, but that makes sense.
I believe before we went into level two, our friends from, sorry to put you on the spot, I hope it's okay. Alex and Tracy, there was some thought on CMS general comments on level two elements that would be helpful from a CMS and CDC combined perspective. Is that true? I don't want to put, again, anybody on the spot, but any thoughts from CMS in general on level two elements of note?
I probably need to check with Joel. Tracy, I don't know if you have anything.
Yeah, I mean, we have several. I was just going to try to see if it fit into the discussion, and then I can add anything at the end if that works.
Okay, great. Okay, so what we're going to, okay, we'll start with level two at the top then, and then move along to the CMF elements if we can, which I'm sure we will be able to get to. So we had care plan was a level two element. We talked about this extensively over the course of the last couple meetings, but the recommendation is, I think if we scroll over, I believe, Mark, you put it in the column L because not wanting to populate column M yet until there was some agreement on how to go forward. Is that correct?
That's right. I wasn't sure. And since we hadn't even discussed it, it seemed like maybe it was a little presumptuous to put it in him, which I didn't want to do.
Okay, so if we can have some, if everyone can, you can see it's on the bottom of column L. So this is where, again, I raise my question on the naming of the data class that's USA specific. In this instance, it's a renaming of an existing data class. And so I think, you know, it's a little bit of a different concern than adding a new use case specific data class. This would be the renaming of the assessment and plan data class. So again, I have no question on the elements as offered, but I have a little bit of concern with the renaming of an existing data class, unless it's thought like I'm the minority again and I have to worry. Any thoughts on the care plan recommendation as noted in column L? It looks like Katrina and I are. And again, I feel like it's a little different this time because again, it's a renaming and not a novel a novel data class, which has less risk, I guess. Rochelle?
You did call on me, right, Sarah?
I did, yes.
Okay. So there are recent updates in reimbursement modeling for support workers and oncology care navigation, which look to care plan and the establishment of a plan of care, either by the physician or the nurse or whatever that support worker is. And so it's now, as we move forward in how we reimagine how data elements are used, it's causing some confusion there if we remain with the old standard of patient summary and patient end plan, because we are changing the element names actually in CMS levels. And I don't know if CMS wants to concur with that. So I just wanted some, I kind of agree with the last statement.
To say, oh, it looks like Tracy did comment from a CMS perspective that she might've agreed with me. again, there's different conversations here. It looks like what I see like here to be the general consent and agreement on the recommendation for care plan element, and the text as noted with a definition usage note and examples, right? But then there's the other conversation regarding the data class.
Which is under the additional recommendations at the bottom.
Correct. Any further comments on the data class renaming?
Nope, I concur.
You concur with the renaming or concur with don't
renaming? Renaming.
Okay. So I'm a cautious holdout again in the and I hear Katrina echoing. And Katrina, do you want to speak?
Yeah, I'm still working through this in my, you know, especially my family physician brain, and just trying to figure out if there is, if we're sort of merging too many aspects of a care plan, and we shouldn't be doing that. I'm not sure. I'm completely, you know, understanding or have an opinion, but when I see assessment and plan of treatment merging into care plan summary, that one makes me a little worried. And then I'm also not sure about the overlap of patient summary and plan into care plan. But on that one, I would probably defer and say, okay, if care plan seems to be a better, more generic statement that really covers that combined care plan. But the second one is concerning me, the care plan summary. I don't know the difference on that one. So I'm more concerned about the second bullet. I'll just say it that way.
Mark?
So I don't know if this helps to that question, but the idea was that, and this came over from USCDI, from the work group's work on USCDI V4, the thought that a narrative description remained helpful. And so you see in the additional recommendation, it does say that it would remain a narrative. And it seemed within that sense of that care plan summary was a more descriptive term than assessment and plan of treatment. So just providing a little background, if that's helpful to this conversation. Thanks.
Thank you. And I think I'm just going to echo Katrina's, like, from a family medicine perspective, what AMP means to me is not necessarily contained in what care plan summary evokes. So, Rochelle?
I'm looking a little bit deeper and hearing Katrina's concerns from a nursing perspective that API is actually separate from the plan of care. You do the API first, assessment planning intervention, to determine what your care plan will be based on the sum of the results. And so in that case, I do agree that it should be separate, but could we leave it as a category saying we want the API plus we want the second part? I'm just a little concerned as to what we're trying to achieve with the second bullet. Are we trying to include the social determinants of health assessment and all that incorporates under the pulse assessment, or are we trying to incorporate two things that really shouldn't be incorporated?
I'm just going to hold, again, there's two conversations here. One is the agreement on the element as suggested, and one is the data class, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so I'm going to keep on trying to. Tracy?
Hey. So we recommend that we rename both the data class and the data element to care plan. And recommend adding care plan information, assessment, health concerns, goals, interventions, and outcome evaluation to the care plan. It's a structured package of core data elements that serve as the blueprint shared by all the care team members to guide the patient's care. So we want to make sure that all of those pieces are clearly identified. Let's stop there.
Rochelle?
So Tracy, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to throw a bomb in the mix here, but just understanding. So you are renaming it to three things and two would be a separate class, or what are you exactly proposing? I just want some clarity for myself, where you're saying the renaming or what you're proposing. If you don't
that mind. The data class and the data element are renamed to care plan. Because patient summary is already included in the notes data class, where there's discharge summary notes, history and physical progress note, et cetera. So we wanted to keep this in its own separate class.
And again, it could be considered an evolution, because as we add more and more discrete note types, the need for a separate data class for assessment and plan of care might not be necessary anymore. And that's, I think that's partly what we might be witnessing, Hans. I don't think I, yeah.
There goes the second mute. I really like the removal of the ambiguity by changing the names, adjusting it, definitions, and provide that. So from that perspective, support this direction. There's a part that I want to see whether that can be further clarified as well. As we were talking in a prior discussion around ADI, which is about what the patient wants and who they are giving consent to make decisions for them, otherwise it's a living will, et cetera, et cetera. At times we have discussed that as a kind of a plan as well. If we're going to keep them as separate data classes, which I think can be very helpful, then it seems that the ADI or whatever we're going to call it is much more from the patient's perspective, what they like and prefer and intend. And this is more the in combination with the healthcare provider, what we actually are going to plan with the care team that includes the patient and otherwise. And in the definition, that distinction could be probably be made more clear, that this is really the healthcare delivery, the actual one that we agreed to move forward with, which may or may not to some extent be able to accommodate the elements that are described in the ADI. ADI would be input to this plan, but it would not be a type of plan. And if we can make that more clear so that we're not going to drift in one of the potential scope between the two, that one is going to assume it includes elements of the other one. No, they're related, but they're different. And that would be greatly helpful to understand what's the purpose and scope of this plan.
Thank you, Hans. And that's good that this work is going to happen in tandem with the AI element. I'm going to hold space for it. I think what we're going to need to do is take these thoughts and work on the recommendation and maybe move that now to column M so we can see it uniquely. And then if the individuals who are offering such commentary can help in reframing that recommendation before next week, that'd be great. I want to propose that maybe, and I know it sounds like I'm taking a different tack, but I think if there's a new data class for a care plan, that might alleviate some of the concerns about overriding the existing assessment and plan one. So that, because I don't think there's if we're moving forward with use case specific, classes in order to assist implementers, the idea of creating a new one might be better received than overriding an existing one. But I'm just going to say that out loud, and maybe that will not be the final recommendation. Mark, any final thoughts before? I think we definitely need to take this one, work on the recommendation, and come back next week.
No, I'll save my thoughts, not necessary at this point.
Okay, so if folks can, and again, sorry to put anybody on the spot, but if our friends from CMS would be willing to help, again, because we really lean on your expertise and guidance in crafting that final recommendation, that would be lovely. We really want to make sure that we center your expertise in this. And then we'll come back.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tracy. And then we'll come back next week. Any other volunteers to have? I mean, Mark, thank you so much for taking lead on this. I believe. Yep. Yeah.
Happy to, and we'll continue to do that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and it looks like Tracy is willing to help work on that to maybe integrate some of the concerns. So,
great.
Thank you, Katrina, and you have Deo helping as well. You have lots of people. thank you so much. All right. So then, if we can move on to some of the other level two elements, in order we need to get to public comment in about 10 minutes. Next one. I believe was health literacy. My apologies on this. We were going to connect at HIMSS, but Deo and I did not get a chance to do that. So if we move over to the recommendation, I put one in there. Do you want to briefly speak to the element as you suggested and raised it from level two? I put in the recommendation that I mentioned two weeks ago. Comment. We haven't fully discussed this one, so discussion at this time. And then Deo, if you want to speak to this, I want to make sure that we give you space to speak to it.
Sure. Actually, it's Deo. The A is silent. Okay. So you know, for me, it's important to pull this back into this discussion because health literacy is another barrier to care. It is an SDOH that is acknowledged and needs to be addressed specifically from a clinical standpoint, as well as a health IT tech standpoint as well, because the information that you provide for the patient and that you and your team build for that patient is based on their level of health literacy. And so for me, for us, I think it's important to pull this back to the forefront to address it so that we can make sure that we are addressing all the needs of that individual patient to better assess them and better treat them so that our interventions are effective. I understand that it was brought up prior. I'm not sure because I was part of this work group last year, but I do not understand why it fell through. Happy to hear what previous members have to say about this, but that's the perspective that I was taking in regards to this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mark?
So as I understand it, this is all, what we're, in summary, we're saying health literacy is already a part of USCDI. It's actually a part of USCDI V2. Mm-hmm. Will be in the regulations with V3. So it's not that anything fell through. It's not that it's unimportant. It's very important. It's that it's already, it's there, and we want to appreciate that. That's my understanding.
Correct. And I did try to make, again, this is where I'm going to take off my ISWG co-chair hat and put on my gravity terminology director hat and take ownership for ensuring that when in future versions of USCDI, gravity updates and adds comment to the element so that we can make sure that the domains that gravity have addressed prior are very clearly represented in the content of USCDI. And that's what I note here is that the intention of gravity and ONC is to keep that USCDI element updated as possible and ensure that any domains that gravity has addressed have pages in ISA to assist implementers. Does that seem to represent the intent? So again, it's not that it was not addressed or not thought important. It's just that it is contained within the existing SDOH screening assessments, diagnoses, goal statements, and interventions approach of the Gravity Project.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Great. Any questions or thoughts on the recommendation, which really is an action item for Gravity to make sure that we update these elements accordingly so implementers are aware? Great. Okay. So I think we can go down to the next element, which was just, I think it's an agreement. Here we go over. This was the level two element of date and time specimen. And I don't believe there was even a recommendation. It was just we haven't talked about it, but it was thought to be a universal agreement. Any conversation on this one? Again, I wanna make sure we level two elements get their just due and the conversation of ISWG appropriately. So I hear Tracy, I just wanna make sure I understand what people are agreeing to. Are we agreeing with the recommendation from ISWG to advance date, specimen date and time to USCDIV-5 from level two?
Yep.
Yep. Any other thoughts? Yes, please. I hear no other thoughts or concerns, which is great. That means if somebody could take a lead on drafting a recommendation for us to review that next week, that'd be great. Katrina, you gonna take lead on that?
Oh yeah, I'll do that one. I start. Okay. I'll just match it.
Wonderful. And then moving on, is Aaron on to represent? I do not see Aaron on to represent the elements that he raised. I feel like we definitely want to make sure that we're talking about them though. So I'm going to not delay, and then understanding this is the first time we've talked about these elements, we will have to revisit them next week once we finalize those last USCDIV-5 elements. So there was a recommendation to raise substance food from level two to USCDIV-5. And then Al, you have a comment from ONC, I imagine.
I do. I just wanted to highlight that an existing USCDI data element substance non-medication calls out both food and environmental allergens as in scope. And if the recommendation is to separate out those two allergen classes or categories into separate data elements, I think the recommendation should reflect that. And then the rationale for separating them rather than including them together. But we do feel like substance food is a component of substance non-medication.
Rina?
Yeah, that was my point. I'm concerned about sort of creating subclasses under subclasses, and you know, then how do we define food? Which I know probably we have a definition, but I'm not sure we do. So I would sort of be against moving forward with this one, if that's the right terminology, or very concerned about it.
That is perfectly fine terminology. Shelley?
I'm struggling with this one. We do, when we're looking at drug interactions, you have drug-drug, the aspect of having food and how it's codified mostly in LOINC and allergy and environmental, which latex is probably the biggest one, they are put into buckets in terms of, but to keep it in buckets, Al, as not non-medication and medication, I think it's okay. I think it would be better if we further classified it as suggested in food and then adding environmental if it's at a later time, if we can't get it in now. So separating out those data elements could be useful as we begin to classify that, especially for interactions that are occurring in relationship to allergies. They come from different sources within compendiums also and codifying it. So I'm in favor of still further classifying them under allergy and intolerance as different data elements, but I'm in agreement with whatever they decide to do. It's not something I'm going to fall on my sword for.
So it sounds like this one definitely needs some further conversation, because I hear any other further thoughts. We will move to public comment on time in 2 minutes and then come back next week resolving those last USAID 5 elements, including the ones we sent back into the hopper. Any other further comments on substance food? I hear some concerns. I hear some agreement. No. Everyone spent all their words earlier on in the meeting. I definitely am not hearing that we're ready to go forward, because I hear enough concern that we need to keep on working on it. Is that fair to say? Okay, so it's still in the hopper. I am going to state that at 11:24, we're going to try to move to public comment on time. We did a lot of really good work today. ONC friends, ready to move to public comment. And thank you so much, team.
Okay, well, thank you. We'd like to open the meeting now for public comment. If you're on Zoom and you'd like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone only, please press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute or unmute your line. We'll pause for a moment here to see if any members of the public would like to make a comment. Okay, at this time, it doesn't seem that there are any public comments, so I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the co-chairs, Sarah and Ike. Go right ahead.
Ike, do you want to close us out?
Sure. Thank you all for helping us work through a bunch of issues today. We got a little more work to do, and then we will finalize our comments and transmit a letter to the HITECH for subsequent submission to ONC. We will see you all next week. Continue to make comments on the worksheet. We'll get the stuff done. Anything to add, Sarah?
Well, just that I'm going to see Mark's hand, but I want you to note that, like, with our timeline, because of the need to get a draft version of the transmitter letter to HITECH ahead of the April 11th meeting, the April 9th meeting is only if needed, because we have to get the transmitter letter to HITECH ahead of that meeting. Right? So we're going to really try to finalize our recs in the next 2 meetings so that we can get that transmitter letter in time without revisions. Mark, maybe I answered your question.
You did. Thanks.
Okay. And thank you so much. Again, hopefully we'll see more final recommendations bloom, and we're doing okay. We're getting there.
We have 1,000 recommendations bloom.
May 1,000 April showers bring many recommendations. thank you so much, friends, and see you next week.
Bye.